James, I want to start by asking you the one question that just kept going through my mind as I watched this film, which is, how on earth did you get permission to do this? What were the hoops that you had to jump through to get everybody to say yes? And what was the hardest part about getting people to say yes?
Yeah, I guess the process was that I had to do I was supposed to do a 7-minute documentary about for NYU about a person, and it was like an exercise to shape a character out of it. And I was going to do it on this artist, Dan Colin. He had like a show, it goes in, he had 6 weeks to do it, and he had to, and it was only one painting, and he was behind, and he was going to be really stressed to do it. I thought, oh, this is perfect. But he was too stressed, and he didn't want to be on camera. So I maybe I can follow Bill Hader on Saturday Night Live for a week. And Bill's cool, and it'd be great to follow. And so I called Bill, and he was like, yes, I'd love to do it. And he got permission from Warren. And we had about a month or two to finish the project, so we had some time. And so then I talked to Lauren and Higgins, Steve Higgins, the guy I'm talking to in the film. And we had to pick the host. They didn't want like a host that wouldn't be, you know, amenable to the cameras around. And we had a few great guys coming up. I thought, oh, John Malkovich, he'd be incredible, but he's probably like really intense, and like I don't know if he'll go for it. So we planned it for that week, but I had to go and ask John Malkovich. I was really nervous, and he's, as you can see, he's like the nicest guy. And sure, James is fine. And I was like, well, can I get you changing during the show? He's like, yeah, it's fine. Whatever you like. So it was he was the perfect host, and I also loved it because he's like a serious actor, but he's also really funny. So it's nice to see a serious actor in that environment, you know, be transformed by everyone in the process. And then it was in stages. So then it was like, they've done documentaries on Saturday Night Live, like I think A&E did one. I even talked to, what's his name? I can't think of his name, but I talked to the guy that did it about it. And it was, he does it, he interviews people now for some TV station, I can't think of it. And there's a whole story to that documentary, but he got screwed up. He said he got screwed up and didn't get access. And so he had to do, it was mostly interviews and people talking about the process. The assignment I had was an observational documentary. I wanted to really do kind of a Maisel's kind of documentary. We did put interviews eventually, but you know, that's, I wanted people to feel the process, go through the process rather than hear about the process. And then Lauren told me, we didn't put him in, but Lauren told me that you know, the Maisel's old partners, Pennebaker, who did, you know, Don't Look Back, you know, incredible documentaries, and his partner, Leacock, actually asked if they could do a documentary like this back in the 70s. And I guess maybe the cast didn't, you know, Warren thought maybe they shouldn't see behind the scenes with that. I don't know. he said no. So I was very, very fortunate that he said yes. And then the last thing was to be able to get into his office when he's picking. Because, I mean, it seems like, I don't know, Will told me that, like, have you never been in that office when they're picking? Like, some cast members, so was that, like, crazy for you, like, seeing that? Like,
there's a lot of stuff that I saw for the first time when watching the documentary.
So, like, getting in there and seeing how that process goes on was very, we were very fortunate to get that. And I think, you know, they're very important to the film.
Yeah. So, Keenan and Will, were you guys at all hesitant to, because obviously they had to get your permission to, was there any part of you that thought, oh, I don't know, this might be embarrassing, or?
No, because I never say anything that's dumb. So, no, it's fine.
And by the way,
Let me
just, because I'm so grateful that Keenan and Jenny and Will are here. Keenan isn't in it a ton, but that's because he is such a fast writer. So like Tuesday night, I would go to interview him, and they'd be like, "King's gone, we've already done this thing." And Jenny wasn't quite on the show yet, but we had a great we had a great time last like December. I met Jenny, and
we had worked with him before because he had hosted the show, and then he had come back a couple times, and we all got along so well with him when he had hosted. It was very comfortable. So it was a big deal for us.
I don't know. It's weird for me because I don't necessarily like watching myself. So whenever I see cameras around, I know that that's going to show up into like some kind of reality format. I hate it. So I tend to like hide or run away from the cameras. And, you know, he called me a couple times.
But, despite your best efforts.
And, you know, weeks where it's like a John Malkovich type host is not really a lot for me to do, I guess. So I write pretty fast on those weeks. Because it's like something like abstract or whatever. So it's not really something that makes sense, like a European, like old medieval scale. You know what I mean? Like I'm always left out of those for some reason.
One thing that the movie gets across so well is what must be the incredible insecurity of being a new cast member on that show, and the stuff with Casey and Bobby, and to hear them talk about it, and the way she phrases it, you know, to get on that show, you have to be at the top of your game, but yet as a featured player, it's got to be so frightening. What was it like for you just to watch this as someone who's kind of going through all that?
Well, when it started and we heard them say live from New York at Saturday Night, like I almost clapped because it's so exciting. It's really like the show to me is like a beautiful like live animal that like becomes alive during the night, you know, and it's just like because you never know what it's gonna be every week. And sure, it's scary because you know I came from more of a stand-up background, so I'm used to, you know, dealing with an audience, but it's just different. It's a three camera shoot, and you have to be on your mark, and there's all these different things, and learning those certain techniques can be scary. And saying, well, I've been watching these people on television, I hope that they like me, you know, when I get to my job, and you're so excited to meet everyone. But mostly it's just a total thrill. You know, like a roller coaster is also it's scary, but really it's meant for a thrill. Mm. Yeah.
How did you decide where you would have the cameras at any given moment? Because, I mean, there must have been times where you must have been shooting two things at the same time, or at least two things at the same time, on, let's say, the writing nights. And how did you decide who you were going to follow and who your filmmaking partners were going to follow? I almost thought I saw some stuff that almost looked like it was shot with a flip cam or something that was...
I have like a tiny little... Like, I had two main cameras. XLs, I think, we use, right, Vince? XL1s, I think. What?
HBX.
Oh, HBX. And, but then I had like this tiny little one that has like the best zoom I've ever seen, so I could like get a close up of that guy from right here, or that person. But obviously you can see the quality, you know, some of the quality's not the best, but you know, we could get the shots that we wanted. Sometimes, you know, when during the show and the dress rehearsal, I think we had like three or four cameras going at one time. But the idea, you know, once we got into it, we thought, okay, because we still didn't know, you know, going into it, we knew it was gonna be a week. We knew we had some structure. We knew we could go day by day. We knew we could show the process. But I thought it would be, or we all thought it would be, more interesting to see arcs of certain sketches, you know? So if we had, and that's maybe one of the reasons, I feel bad, Keenan, that we don't follow, you know, one of your sketches, but like, we had to pick certain ones, and we knew, and we didn't know if they were gonna make it or not, like Empire Carpet, which, Will probably has some comments about that, but he's gonna say it was whatever. He can speak it there. But we knew, okay, we've got leads on these. We've heard this one in the pitch meeting. We heard Empire Carpet in the pitch meeting. Oh, we've seen them writing this one. Okay, we better definitely follow those. I mean, we tried to get as much as we could, but we knew there were certain ones like, okay, we have this one from the beginning. And then someone get, you know, cut dress rehearsal or at the table read or, you know, dress rehearsal or whatever. And you can either just shelve the whole thing or show something get cut. Mm-hmm. So
what's it like, Will, to see that Empire Carpet? I mean, it's just so fascinating to see a sketch totally kill in one setting, but then not the next time? I mean, is that a frequent occurrence where a sketch will have that kind of a roller coaster life?
It happens all the time. It is, you never know what is going to be the perfect combination. Sometimes it's the audience is just has different tastes than, you know, there's no guaranteeing that it wouldn't have done very well at the live show. But you just learn, if you believe in a sketch, and if you try to put it up again, there are several sketches. I'm kind of a offender of this, but I put up sketches that I believe in a lot more than most people, and sometimes they end up getting on and doing really well, and sometimes they don't. But you know, if you believe in it, you gotta stick with it, and at some point, you might try to retool it. Let's see what happens.
I also thought, you know, when you see Casey and Bobby with the whole Liza Minnelli thing, and it just dies, and she, you know, to her credit, was so kind of honest and self-deprecating about it. But did you ever have moments with any of the people behind the scenes or the cast where you shot something and then something happened and they said, please don't put that in the movie, it would just be too embarrassing?
Well, I want to give Casey a ton of credit. I love her, and I loved working with her. I don't know her that well, but, you know, I'm so grateful that she allowed us to use this stuff, because actually we went into the project not knowing what it was going to be. So usually, you know, when you do a documentary, you go and get everybody to sign off beforehand, so no matter what happens, you can use it. We didn't know what this was going to be, and these were all, you know, people that I liked, and I wasn't out to make anybody look bad. You know, this was to show the process. So I kind of trusted everybody, and I think they, you know, kind of trusted me. You know, yeah, Case, that sketch bombed at the table. You know, sketches bombed at the table. Sketches, you know, when I did readings, I'm sure I bombed. You know, I wasn't that funny in certain things. It happens. It was just a weird turn of events that, you know, Casey was no longer on the show. So it was, I think, a huge... shows huge, I don't know, graciousness on her part to allow us to still put that in, you know, besides the fact that, you know, that she's not on the show. I showed it to her and everything, and she really likes the doc, and she said, I cherish it because it, you know, really shows what my life was like on that show. So I think she appreciated it for that, and she was very, it was very big of her to allow us to use that.
And it's a, her journey for that week was, everybody's had that week. So it's they just happen to catch her week. But we've all, especially, you know, I said earlier, it was comfortable to let him in. I don't know that I would feel that if I was in my first or second year at the show. It was a way different experience. I was shitting my pants every second of every day. Yeah, that's a very common experience what she went through, and it just happened to be her week.
All three of you have had several characters already, even you being so new, characters that have really caught on and characters you've gotten to repeat. So when you think of someone like MacGruber or, you know, What Up With That, or Tina with the... Tina with the alarm clocks and the doorbell. I mean, are these people that... What's that? Tina Schnoops, sorry. Are you thinking of these characters when you're initially coming up with them as characters that will be in multiple episodes and then hopefully a film? Or is it just, let me just write this one sketch that's going to be funny once?
What Fred said in the film, that he just hopes that he can entertain people at the table, at the read-through, like, that for me is my goal when I get in. Tina came alive at, like, 4 in the morning when I was trying to write something else about a doorbell that was broken, and it was the worst. The sketch was horrible, and it was taking a long time to write, and I just kept saying, oh, that's bad. Like, everything we would write was horrible. And then the doorbell was broken in the sketch, but that was it. And then all of a sudden, started to make doorbell sounds. That was all. I mean, there's no grand plan except for it to be funny until it needs to rest. I think that's it.
What about you guys?
I mean, she just said it best, I think, you know what I mean? Like, we go into it, like, with such humility, you know? Like, everybody that gets to it, you know, is a very confident person, like we've said a few times. But then you get around these people that have, like, done the show for some years or whatever, and they were at the top of their game when they came. And now they're just, like, icons, and, like, all these people know their name, and when they go outside the building, like, all these people are rushing them and stuff like that. To have to witness that and then introduce something that you feel is funny is, like, going out there like a naked baby, you know what I mean? It's terrifying. So, like, I think the only plan is to just try to be funny for me.
You kind of have to learn how to, like, metabolize that fear and just, like, live with it. Because you want it as a performer. You have the urge to go out in front of strangers and do something, you know, and call attention to yourself. But it's also, you have to learn how to live with it.
I mean, did you ever, at what point did you even start to think, okay, Bluebird went from basically an interstitial to it keeps repeating to now, you know, you've got a film coming out?
I don't think that I ever, when we were putting the sketch up at the table, I didn't think it would make the show. So, like,
crazy.
Every step of the way has
I'm
been.
I'll just chime in on that right now because that is mind boggling to me. Because number one, Forte puts up the most brilliant sketches every week. You know what I mean? So for him to sit here and say, like, I don't know if the sketch is going to go well, it's like kind of like bullshit to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, Boomer is some. But that's brilliant, man. Like, that sketch is fucking brilliant. And it's just so off the cuff. And, like, that's what he does. He does things like so, you know, out of the ordinary or whatever. That's what makes it so special. And that sketch was a rock star at the table. Like, every time it went up, every joke it landed on, at the final joke, people started applauding at the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, how could you not think that's gonna make the show? But you know what I'm saying? That's why I see why it is like that. You know what I mean? Like, you'll have a sketch that goes really well, and then Saturday it'll be just different.
It's weird. I mean, if you watch 30 Rock, you know, if that's the closest that someone like us, you know, can get to getting an idea of what goes on behind the scenes in a show like this. The Jane Krakowski and the Tracy Morgan characters, they don't write. The writers are these nerdy guys in another room. But that's one thing that's so educational about this film is that you see how closely the cast is working with the writers, and you guys in many ways are your own writers. Is that true for every cast member that you all have been with over the years, or are there cast members who just kind of come in and say, all right, writers, what you got for me? Or is everyone really that proactive?
Sure, I feel like everybody's proactive. I don't think anybody just relies on it, because when you come there, nobody really knows what you can do. Like, most people that come there aren't really that well known. Like, this is their chance to become famous or whatever. So people aren't just gonna give you things that they assume that you can do. Like, you kind of have to show them, and the only way to do that is to write for yourself.
And there's never any guarantee that you're gonna be in a sketch. Like, it's not like, okay, you guys are writing some Forte sketches, you're doing some Keenan sketches. You're just in there. You cast each piece that you're writing on your own, and sometimes, luck of the draw, you just won't be in anything. So you have to write because you're the only person who's truly looking out for yourself. You just have to.
When you think back to the first time you hosted, obviously, like most actors who fantasize about hosting SNL, you probably have thoughts about what it would be like. How would you say it differed from what your expectations were? Was it more grueling? Was it more ridiculous than you imagined it would be?
I mean, the biggest surprise is being on air, on live. That's just the biggest thing. And you know, you see a little bit of it here, John running around. I'm watching him, he's not actually not running that fast. Like, they yank, like when I'm on, they're yanking me from set to set, and you know, there's, I don't know if you guys have people helping you change, but there's like four or five people, you know, somebody ripping the Velcro pants off, and you know, somebody's putting a mustache on my face and that kind of thing. And that's just like, you know, all the way through. So that was a big surprise. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the first time the cast maybe was, and the writers are getting to know, you know, get to know the host. And so it seems like, I don't know, that maybe you do the obvious, more obvious, like, make fun of a James Dean or, you know, a Spider-Man or something or whatever. And then the second time I did it, it was like I knew everybody and I could talk to everybody, or, you know, and say like, oh, like I wanted to do it, what up with that? And we did. So I was on the first one.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. I was the one who started the guest, the outside guest.
So, can I answer question?
At what point do the three of you guys know whether you've got a good host on your hands? Is it at the read? Is it the way he or she kind of contributes in some of the pitch meetings? When do you get a sense, oh, this is not going to be good, or wow, we've got someone who's really going to sink their teeth into it?
It's tough, because different people, some people just start slow and just really bring it home at the table. It's always very surprising, but it does help when you have somebody who's very energetic and friendly in the beginning, and then it just really energizes the group, and I think the table reads, and just the whole week kind of gets going a little faster, so I think that helps, but that doesn't mean you can't have a good show with the person who's not as giving in that way, or bad show with the person who is energetic and friendly.
Yeah, I just wait until the next day. Although I mean, like how I felt the next day, but I've never felt in my short time that there's been, I've liked all of the hosts, but I'm afraid to watch on Sunday sometimes. Although I want to see it, and I tape it on my television, and then I don't watch it, and I just ask my boyfriend to watch it and tell me how it was. People were laughing.
I mean, obviously, sometimes when you have a Paul Rudd coming on the show, you know he's going to be good because he's friends with so many of you.
He's great when actors know.
But has there been someone that you thought, oh, I don't know if it's going to work, who ended up really surprising you?
Well, I thought Ludacris. I was nervous about Ludacris when he hosted, only because, like, when we were trying to pitch him ideas, he was just, like, two-waying the whole time. He wasn't really paying attention. Then he, like, went to the club at, like, 11 o'clock on a Friday night. Like, most hosts kind of stay around and, like, ask questions. He was just, like, off into some champagne toast. And I hope we can, like, do some. Because, you know, that's our time to get to know people and kind of get to know, like, their sensitivity, their quirkiness, like, things that we can, like, pull and make things funny or whatever. You know, he just wasn't really into it. But Saturday, like, on Wednesday, he came with it, you know? Thursday and Friday, we really attended in the rehearsals and like started giving us notes back, and like we could have appreciated those notes on Tuesday, but no time like a present, I guess. And, Saturday, he committed to the show. Like, that's all we can ask, you know what I mean? For people to commit to the jokes and try to just read, you know, try to get to it. Yeah.
Anyone stand out that you weren't sure about?
Well, I think Justin Timberlake, the first time he was coming, he was. Nobody had seen him act. You would have never known that you would. I mean, he's one of the great hosts, I think, and I don't think any of us foresaw that. I think that was,
The other thing that's cool to see, there's a moment where, you know, Seth has something he wants to pitch, but he's kind of holding back on his pitch. Like, he doesn't want to kind of give it all away at the first pitch. He wants to kind of save stuff. So I guess maybe the idea is you don't want to pee too early in the week and have everyone love your sketch, but then get sick of it. I mean, it's amazing kind of the politics and the timing of pitching a sketch to make sure that it actually gets on the show. And it made me think, well, why can't a funny idea just be a funny idea from Monday all the way till Saturday? But that's really not how it always works, right?
Pitch doesn't matter as far as getting stuff on the show. It's all about the table read. So if you give away your joke at the pitch, then it's not going to get the response of the table read. And just basically, they're going off of how everything plays at the table read.
I hate the pitch.
You hate the pitch?
It's my least favorite thing, you know what I mean? Because it's like, we have so little time to come up with stuff every week. So like you'll be partying Saturday, like, yeah, that was a good show, good show. Oh shit, it's Monday. I got an idea where we're in a canoe and we're singing songs and I try to kill it.
Okay, so for instance, you have the Betty White week starting tomorrow, which is gonna be on the week. How are you? power to the people for making that happen on Facebook.
Yeah,
basically. Like, you don't have to be specific, but do you guys all have stuff already in your mind that you know you're going to be talking about?
I mean, I have fantasies that Betty White thinks that I'm the best friend. We like get a condo, but I picked out my outfit for tomorrow already. Yeah, because I was like, I'm so excited. I'm really, really excited. I've done that a few times this year. I also picked out like a special pants, sort of fancy pants outfit for Sigourney. And I know I'm not, that doesn't matter. It only matters how you feel. That's why I picked out the outfit. But I don't exactly know what I'm gonna pitch yet. But I'm not gonna give it away.
Yeah, I've picked out my outfit.
And then before I open up to questions, James, this is a very lucky audience that got to see this movie. What is your hope or your goal for this now? Would it be to have it shown on HBO? Would it be to have it get a theatrical release? Where does this go?
It's tricky. There's some swear words in it. And it's on NBC, so I think the networks are very, competitive, and so probably will not show on HBO. We've had offers from some incredible companies to buy this movie. Originally, I thought, well, let's just release it on an NBC affiliate like Bravo, which is maybe what we'll do. Because it's a television show. I think you show it on television, but. Who knows, maybe we'll do limited release in theaters. We're in the middle of that thing.
I don't know the economics of documentaries. Do we get a cut of this?